Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. And let's find a good question.
Let me start off with something.
Because I have... All right, could okay, I have...
You hold the question.
I'll hold the question, but you get something you want
to... Because I was thinking about this. I was watching on Saturday, as I was prepping my game, had in the background Oklahoma-Nebraska. You know, there's a lot of buzz about Spencer Rattler.
Yes.
And it got me to thinking, Mike. It got me to thinking... that I'm a little bit nervous about a dude named Spencer Rattler.
Is it the Rattler part that you're nervous or the Spencer part that you're nervous about?
It's just the whole combination. You know, it's kind of like two first name guys. And I started thinking the recesses of my mind. What football player had the most football player name ever? And was any good, was like a Hall of Fame type of dude.
So you're talking about the best football name
right.
by a player who actually
was like
really
Hall
good
of Famer.
Ooh.
Not nickname. I'm talking about their name. It just feels like you're destined to be a disappointment with the name Spencer Rattler. Because it's such a cool name.
Right.
Like what guy... had one of the coolest football names ever and actually lived up to the hype of the name.
All right, I'll throw that out there to our own personal Google, the RamosLaw.com text line, because listeners know. So, yeah, give us your ideas. But it has to be a really good player. I don't know if it has to be a Hall of Famer, but it has to be somebody that we all recognize
like
as being
multiple Pro Bowl.
A really good player.
Right,
right.
Wasn't there a linebacker from Notre Dame back then named Stonebreaker?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, my God, that's a great name. He's going to be awesome.
He wasn't. No, he was not. Nope, you're right. Somebody says Dick Butkus. That's a good football name. Dick Butkus.
Dick But you don't think, like, those are real names, though. You don't think of Spencer Rattler or, you know, the thing that just, it turns into this great, like, that's the greatest football name ever. That's a really good football.
Bronco Nagurski?
Bronco Nagurski. Yeah, but Bronco Nagurski probably wasn't, like, there's, Bronco is pretty good, though, right? But was Bronco his nickname? Was his first name really Bronco?
Oh, good point. Yeah, like, so somebody said Mean Joe Green. That's not...
No.
His name is Joe Green.
Joe Green.
Right.
He didn't have, like, this football-playing Jesse name. Like, you know, like, your parents named you because it's a really cool kind of football-y type of... Like I said, Stonebreaker.
Right. Like, somebody said Champ Bailey. Nope.
No.
Champ's not his real name.
No.
Do you know what Champ Bailey's real?
It's probably Charlemagne or something.
Charlemagne? Where'd you come up with that?
I don't know. It just popped into my head. I have no
Roland.
Idea. Roland?
Roland Bailey.
Roland Bailey.
Yeah.
No. Champ.
Yeah, Champ's much better.
Yeah.
Roland Bailey would not
cause
receivers to tremble in his wake.
No. I know there's some other really cool, like, really cool names out there.
All right. Well, we'll throw it out there. Yeah, somebody brought Jack Youngblood.
Jack Youngblood.
Now, that's a football sounding
name. Yeah, it is a football.
If you told me you were looking at a college player that you'd love to see be a future Bronco named Jack Youngblood, I'd be like, okay.
Right.
Right?
Jack's a good, and played that Super
Bowl. And that was his name. Yeah,
Jack Youngblood. Youngblood. See, that's,
okay.
All right, we found one. That's
all right.
One.
All right.
We only found one, though.
That's all.
I don't know if you ever found a quarterback.
We'll keep looking for more.
Bart Starr.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yep. Like someone said Colt McCoy. Sounds cool, but I don't think that's his real name.
Colt McCoy.
Is it? Hold on. Colt McCoy is Daniel Colt McCoy. He's Daniel
McCoy.
If
he was my teammate, I'd just call him 45.
I call him Smoke.
Colt McCoy, 45.
There you go. All right. Hit us up on the Ramoslav.com text.
Sorry,
line.
Just something popped into my head.
I know. It happens
to KO Spikes.
Many. Yeah, that is good name. Good point. To
have
KO
you ever seen
Spikes.
That son of a guy's neck? To KO?
Well, now again, is that his real name? Hold on.
Oh, it's got to be.
Yep. Takeo Spikes. We found one. Yeah, if you were telling me the Broncos are interested in Takeo Spikes, I'd be, that's a football name. That is a football name. All right, we'll get to, there's so many coming in now. I got to go back to find my question. Let's see. Oh, okay. Here it is. Mark, last year, Teddy Bridgewater played against the Broncos and got outplayed by Drew Locke.
No, he didn't.
What's to say that Bridgewater will not look like the same quarterback when he plays a good defense again?
One, that's silly talk.
Well, it's a fair question, and it's a question.
The question is fair, but I'm just saying he didn't get outplayed. He got out-statisticed. On a bunch of broken coverages where Drew Locke threw three touchdowns over the top. I get it, and that's what you see. There was a lot of things in that game that Drew Locke was terrible at, but he made three big plays on three busted coverages. I'll give you that.
Well, you hate Drew.
I don't hate Drew. Hey, he made a touchdown pass, so he's better. Like that's not the case, but go ahead.
Teddy Bridgewater in that game last year, 32-27 win for the Broncos. Drew was 21-27 for 280 yards, four touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy was 30-40 for 283 yards, no touchdowns.
Correct.
And you're saying that they played equal games. Okay. Are you saying they played equal games?
I'm saying that Drew Locke wasn't clearly, I mean, he had four touchdown passes. He had and he made some good plays, but he made a lot of bad plays in that game as well. He gave him a strip sack fumble because he didn't understand protection that led to their first score and got him right back in the game. But we won't. Let's not talk about that. We'll just say the O-line sucked there and move on. Not your quarterback. Didn't understand it. That's what irritates me.
But he threw four touchdowns. He must be better.
Well, Mark, at some point the numbers do matter. I get that there are lies, damn lies, and then there are statistics. Okay,
He made some really good throws on busted coverages where nobody covered a guy. That's great. He made some good throws on. I mean, there was a seam to KJ Hamler where they busted that. There was another go to KJ Hamler where I think they busted that as well. I mean, he made some good throws. Don't get me wrong, Drew Locke. That was the best game that Drew Locke played by far, and it still had a lot of things in it that weren't very good. That's all I'm saying. But let's not just act like Teddy Bridgewater sucked last year and in that game, and it just irritates
okay
me.
Then
oh, on, I'm just irritated.
Okay, but this is a fair question. I asked it yesterday of you. I'm going to bring it up again now because it fits. Ease my concerns, maybe not even ease mine, because I see what Teddy's doing. I think there's something that is there's something solid to what he's doing that translates to why it should continue. Okay,
okay.
I believe that way.
All right.
But there's no doubt you've heard it, you've felt it. There has been a but reaction from a lot of people we've heard from. To Teddy's first two games. A lot of but. He did it against the Giants. He did it against the Jaguars. But wait until he goes up against somebody that's good.
Right.
Ease those people's minds. Ease their pain.
All right.
Why is what he doing now?
Why is what he doing now?
Why is what he
Why
is what he is doing now?
Okay.
Here we go.
You missed one of those little connector words. I don't know what those things are called. Are they prepositions?
Conjunction, junction.
I don't know what they are. I wasn't English, maybe.
But why is what he is doing now? There we go. I'm a professional, people. Why should it continue against good defenses? Why will it continue?
Well, good defenses with some better players that can tie the back end to the front end and can get to the quarterback, some things are going to drop. And if you're not playing with the lead, if your defense is playing against a much better team and you're not playing with the lead, there are going to come times where you have to be a little bit more or a little bit less judicious with the football and a little more aggressive, Mike. So there will be a drop-off. How dramatic will the drop-off be, and how many mistakes will you make that will lead to scores from the other team? Those are the things you have to, when you're playing better competition, of course, because they've got, you know, they've got a better scheme and a better players, and they execute better. But here's the deal, and I told you this. The hope was that you're going to get more of the Teddy Bridgewater from the five starts that you got when he played in New Orleans, with a good team around him, with quality depth around him, and some explosive playmakers around him. And you know what? He was really damn good. And, oh, by the way, he went into Seattle in a hostile environment in Seattle and quarterbacked them to a win with exceptional numbers against an aggressive, hard-nosed, loud stadium place to play in Seattle, and was really good. And what we talked about was, if you have the requisite talent that you drafted and you think has got the ability to be really good, then you're going to get more of the Teddy from those five games in New Orleans than you will from last season in Carolina. And so far, against competition that's probably lesser, so far that has ringed out true, played out to the truth.
Well, those games you're talking about, and that's what we're counting on, right? We're counting on this is the Teddy that we watched for that smaller sample size.
Correct.
In New Orleans. That's what we're counting on.
Correct.
And that guy was legit. There's no doubt about it. That guy completed 72% of his passes.
Mm-hmm.
Averaged about 260 yards passing. Through 9 touchdowns to 2 picks.
Yes.
We're counting on that guy.
Yeah.
Not for 6 games, but for 17. And you're saying there's no reason why he can't deliver like that.
I am saying that those are the expectations, yes. But I think that team that he played on in New Orleans is, from a offensive depth and talent standpoint, is better than the team he's playing on right now. I'm not saying this team can't grow to that because you got a bunch of young players. I'm not saying that Courtland Sutton can't be, you know, Michael Thomas type of guy, but, you know, he's coming off that knee injury. I'm not saying that, you know, he can't have those type of you know, numbers, but I think when you look at their offensive line, the two bookend tackles that are all pros, you know, I just think that team, Alvin Kamara, come on. I mean, that guy's one of the most dynamic dual threat players, regardless of position, in football. So I'm saying I think he had a little bit more talent then, but I'm telling you the Broncos have the ability, as guys continue to progress and guys continue to mature, to have a really talented football team, a really talented roster.
All right. That's very encouraging. Hopefully that wins over some of the doubters, some of the naysayers. We shall see. This one comes in from Phil. You know, I have not heard from this guy. So, did you go through like a Lamaze class when your kids were being born? Did you go through anything
hell
like
no.
that? What do you mean, hell no?
Go Lamaze?
You didn't do any. You didn't go to any birthing classes?
Nope.
Geez, when Lisa was giving birth, what'd you hang out in the waiting room, pace up and down the hallway, or what?
No, I went in. I was like, hey, let's pick this up. I got film to study. You been laying around here all
day. I
got to
eat.
No, I didn't.
I got some cheese whiz and taco meat waiting for me.
Did you do the birthing classes?
Yeah. So one of the guys I was in the birthing class with, now our daughters are in college.
Hey, did it help you? Going to the birthing class, did it really do anything for you?
Good point. Good question.
Does it really It's more of just breathing. Your support system, right? You're just there to cheer her on, to be supportive.
Did I really learn anything?
No, you didn't.
Probably not.
Or all of a sudden you're going to say, hey, move back, doctor. I think we've got a breach. No, I mean, it didn't help you. You're not doing anything. You got a doctor in there. I'm just over there saying, honey, you look great. Yeah, you know, you got everything's this. Going.
Oh. You're having another ice chip. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, like, that's all I'm there for. Moral support. Baby, you look great. You're glowing. You're stunning. Oh, this is the most beautiful you've ever looked. You're just lying through your teeth. That's what you're doing.
Maybe it teaches you how to lie.
Right. Lamaze is just a fancy way of saying, we're going to help you lie to your wife.
While she's going through childbirth.
Right. That's all it is.
All right.
I think we solved it.
There we go.
That's why I saw right through. I saw right through those shenanigans. Right through that charade. I saw right through that charade. I was like, no, I'm not going.
Oh, man. Oh, I hope your wife isn't listening.
Ooh. Wait a minute. Let's just.
Yeah, you'll hear about that. And you'll come slinking.
We're good.
Slinking in through the front door. Sorry. All right, this is from my buddy Phil. We went through the birthing class together. He says, while Teddy has proven so far to be a good starting quarterback, he has yet to show us he is a transcendent superstar quarterback. By the end of the season, he may show that he is a superstar. But until such time as he shows that elite level play, Aaron Rodgers should remain on the Broncos wish list, as he would be an upgrade at the most important position on the field. Now, everything you just said about Teddy Bridgewater, you are quickly emerging as the president of the Teddy Bridgewater fan club.
See, this is
but
where...
But yet you still are lighting a candle for Aaron Rodgers every night,
yes,
correct?
And this is where you do your best work. A statement like that is what's going to get me... It's what gets fans upset with me. I'm showing myself as the president of the Teddy Bridgewater fan club.
Yeah.
Don't throw your hand out there like, what, me?
I think it's self-evident.
No, what I am doing is I am sticking up for Teddy Bridgewater for people who don't understand football and why this was a good choice and why. I'm not sitting there saying that I think Teddy Bridgewater leads you to the promised land. I'm not saying that you don't eventually need a long-term solution at that position. I'm saying Teddy Bridgewater is, all things being equal, if you have the support system around him, is a good quarterback that's going to lead you to a good, to a bunch of victories. And again, like I said, I've talked to coaches and GMs, and people have a ton. This league has a ton of respect. Like, there's very few players that get talked about in the reverential tones around the league that Teddy gets talked about in. From a leadership standpoint, from a toughness standpoint, from an ability to overcome standpoint, from a perseverance standpoint, from an intelligence standpoint. Now, are there caveats to that? Yeah, but... what's his overall talent level? That's not why you're bringing him in. He's not the guy that is going to hoist the team on his shoulders and carry them to the promised land all by himself. That's not him. But if you've got a good roster and you got a good defense and you can play complementary football and you can run the ball a little bit, Teddy is a guy that's going to win you games.
But you're leaving out the most important part of it. Is he a guy that can go toe-to-toe year after year with the quarterbacks in this division? Remember, he's going to be 28,
29,
He'll be 20. His birthday comes up in November. He'll be 29 in November.
Right.
So in theory.
Yeah, you could have
him another decade.
Yeah. He hasn't proven to this point in his career that he can be that guy. That he, when things break down, Mike, that he can, that he's the guy that can hoist a team on his shoulders for two quarters and carry them. He's never proven that. And I would have serious doubts about him being able to do that. So, you know, I see and I've seen Patrick Mahomes do it. I've seen even Herbert do it in his first year. I have seen Derek Carr do that over the course of his career on multiple occasions. First 2 weeks of this season, I have not seen Teddy Bridgewater do that.
Okay.
I've seen Aaron Rodgers do it.
But you are the president right now. You are the... You are the undisputed leader of the Teddy Bridgewater fan
club. No, let's not. The fan club is not the right term.
No,
I am
booster.
What would your club be called if you're just defending the truth defense? Like you're like one of those, you know, like Truth in Advertising, or like you know one of those sites that say you know the. When they break down the political, like the campaign rhetoric,
yeah,
and say here are the
truth. Like the fact check,
yeah, I am the
you're the fact checker,
right? I just want to educate you on what the facts are.
You're the Broncos quarterback fact checker,
right? Because what I have to be is you're labeling me fan club. I'm not the fan club. I'm the anti hate club. So I'm just bringing to the equation, you know, the truth of the matter, because I don't like to hear the narrative of, you know, Teddy's no good. Teddy can't do this. Teddy can't do that. I'm giving you the other things.
Yeah, but what? See, I go with president of the fan club because of the way that you are just absolutely slamming and smearing.
No,
Drew Locke in the process. I mean, Paxton Lynch is sitting back and going, "I never got it this bad." Poor Drew.
I am not.
I mean, that's not even a... No, stop it, stop it. That's not even a... That, I mean, that's... At this point, in your mind, Drew's worse than Paxton.
Not... No.
That's what I'm hearing.
No, stop. And I am... I really...
Inconceivable.
I really appreciate the work that Drew put in and the competition that went on this year. I am... You know, when you give me a comparison and it's wrong and you're telling me that Drew does this, you know, better than Teddy, blah, then I have to, and I'm not trying to attack Drew. I'm just trying to point out the nuanced differences of why Teddy is better. And unfortunately, you know, when you're comparing and contrasting and people are coming at me with that stuff, I have to, you know, I have to be honest about it. So it has nothing. I appreciate the work that he put in. I appreciate how hard he prepared, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, he grew. We saw him grow. I also understand that where he came from, there's a lot more work to be done from that preparation above the neck aspect of playing that position.
You were asking for some of the great football names.
Yeah.
Like you were watching Spencer Rattler the other day.
And I just like when your name sounds like it came from a Hollywood script.
Right.
You know, like Shane Falco.
Right.
Like when it sounds like Hollywood wrote that guy's not, I just have a hard time believing he's going to be any good.
All right. How about Max Strong?
Max Strong. It's a good name.
Great football name.
Right. Good football name.
Somebody said, ha ha Clinton Dix. Or as you like.
Ha ha! That's a nickname.
That's not his real name. His real name is Hashan.
Hashan.
Major Applewhite. That's actually his real name.
Major Applewhite. And how was he as a player?
Not good.
Okay. Case in point.
T.J. Slaughter.
T.J. Slaughter. Yeah. Good name. Not, you know, not multiple Pro Bowl.
Somebody brought up this name, and to me, this was like the most... I'll give you another different way of looking at this. Have you, the one NFL name that did not fit the way the guy actually played, meaning
yes,
his that. Name was far more dignified than the way he played.
Right.
Conrad Dobler.
Conrad Dobler.
Sounds like he should have been like on an 80s sitcom. Like,
yeah.
You know, Conrad Dobler is the dad of, right. you know, the, right. the sitcom. Instead, he was a nasty player.
I didn't bite your ankles.
Nasty. One of the nastiest players ever. So we'll get some more here.
All right.
Major Applewhite. I remember that name. That was good. Okay. All right. Coming up next, John Clayton, the professor. How does he view the Broncos' first two wins? Is he in the yeah, but category? We'll find out. He'll join us next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. John Clayton is our senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com. He is presented by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Hey, Johnny, are you surprised at all? I mean, you know, here in Denver, I think there are a lot of people for waiting or that are kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. They say 2-0 is great. Teddy Bridgewater's been great, but it has been the Giants. Jacksonville will be the Jets. We're just kind of waiting to see what this team actually is. Where are you on what you've seen so far and what you think the Broncos might be able to become?
I think very predictable. I mean, I think what you can see is that the schedule was easy. It was a tougher game to be able to win the Giant game. You know, Jacksonville's terrible, so they were able to do that. And then as a matter of, you know, they're taking on an even worse team in the Jets. So it's like, you know, everything was all set to get off to a 3-0 start. So I don't think there's any surprise there.
What, though, when you look at the play of Teddy Bridgewater, are you confident in will translate to even when the opponents become tougher?
Well, I mean, I think the consistency, you know, because he doesn't make mistakes. I mean, he comes out and he is efficient. I mean, he doesn't make turnovers. He's able to move the ball, able to make some decent intermediate passes. You know, he's got good weapons to work with. And so I think that is one of the more important things. So I think that his efficiency is going to be good. But now, of course, starting in week four, that's going to be even more important.
Yeah, it is, as they take on Baltimore, and they've got a game against Pittsburgh, and then they'll have a Cleveland in there as well. I mean, it certainly gets a lot tougher. Von Miller, his triumphant return to the Broncos and what he's been doing off the edge. Von Miller certainly looks like he's got the potential to have another Pro Bowl-type caliber season, as he's having 3 sacks right now on this season. What have you heard about Von Miller and the way he has played, and just give us your insight on him.
Yeah, he looks great. I mean, the fact that he has the 3 sacks, the fact that he's able to get the pressure on the quarterback, the fact that he's able to come in there and do that. Now, again, you know, you wish that Bradley Chubb would be more involved, and unfortunately, because of his ankle injury, he keeps on, you know, getting not on the field, and so that's not good. But I think that overall, I mean, Von Miller is back to his normal Von Miller self, which was so important.
John, what's your read of these rumors regarding both John Elway and Peyton Manning being interested in being part of separate groups to go out and try to buy the Denver Broncos? Your view, based on your covering the NFL, what does the NFL want when it comes to new owners in the NFL? Are they in favor of these kind of groups that has that Derek Jeter, like, you know, face at the front of it? Or are they just looking for that one sole owner with deep pockets?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, you know, the thing that I think that both John Elway, Peyton Manning, and all that are going to be competing against is Jeff Bezos, because Jeff Bezos, you have to think at some point, is going to buy a franchise. And, of course, if Denver most likely going to be the next franchise available, then I don't know where Jeff Bezos stands as far as Peyton Manning, John Elway, and everything else. But, you know, because, again, you know, Jeff could buy the team himself because he's got so much money. He's one of the richest owners in the league as far as potential owners. But, no, I think that they're fine on, you know, having somebody like a John Elway or having a Peyton Manning involved in some way. And everybody kind of knew that, you know, at some point, Peyton's going to get involved in ownership.
Yeah, it does certainly seem that way. Hey, John, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great rest of your day. Always great catching up. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
There he goes, John Clayton. Presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Wow, Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos owning the Broncos?
Did you hear a week ago or so, I don't know if we talked about it, that Jeff Bezos could lay down a check for $4 billion to buy the Broncos? $4 billion. And that's 2% of his net worth. 2% of his net worth.
It's just like walk into the office carrying suitcases, open them up, just cash. Here you go, $4 billion. You don't have to count it. It's all there.
You know, I feel like the Pope of Chilitown when I got a stack of like $400 bills in my, like, I'm like.
You're licking the thumb.
I just feel like my walk into Vegas. I wonder if he, like. He just has $1 million bills wrapped in his wallet. Do they make $1 million bills?
I don't think they make $1 million bills.
You got change of $1 million.
You break this.
Bag of gum. Keep the change.
Keep the change. Listen, all I got is $1 million.
All they got is $500,000 bills. You got change?
What is the highest bill?
I don't know.
Benny, can I get some Effordy music? Now you gotta be curious.
Highest bill made. $1,000. There's a $1,000 bill, isn't there?
There is a $10,000 bill.
A $10,000 bill.
Oh, I don't think it's currently. Actually, hold on. Because that was made, but it was in circulation, but it's no longer in circulation.
No longer circulating. The $10,000 bill.
Yeah, it's the $100 bill. That's the biggest one.
The biggest one's $100?
Yeah, that's it. In decades past, the Federal Reserve has issued $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, even $100,000 bills.
It's where that named $100,000 bar, that candy bar, came from.
I am sure that's exactly where it came from.
They only had, like, I bet you TikTok McLaughlin had a... $100,000 bill.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is TikTok McLaughlin Live.
Here comes the boys in blue. They're carrying $100,000 bills.
New York, London, Paris, Munich, music.
It says something, I think, about how locked in we've been the start of this week.
Right.
This is the first time we've played that in almost two full shows.
Really?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's probably not good. Too locked in.
But it means we're talking sports.
Yeah, being locked that locked in.
I don't know if I want to be that locked in.
I don't want to be that locked in on anything.
No. Marion Butts.
Marion Butts.
Football name.
Yeah, that is a good. That Marion Butts is a good football name.
AJ Hawk.
It's a pretty good football name.
Hannibal Navies.
Bam Morris.
Good.
Bam, well, probably wasn't his real first name.
No, couldn't be.
You don't name your kid Bam. Yeah? Like Pebbles and Bam Bam?
Mark, stay current. Yeah, Byron Bam Morris.
Byron.
Well, how about maybe the ultimate football name? Is a real name. Newt Rockne.
Newt.
That was his name.
Rockne.
Newt Rockne.
That's probably, you can just end it right there.
Boom.
Newt.
Rockne.
Reminds me of that movie Aliens. They call me Newt Mosley.
sounded kind of gumpish right there.
It was, little girl, right? They found her hiding in the spaceship.
Right.
What's your name, sweetheart? They call me Newt, mostly.
Please stop.
Sorry, folks. You had to see the face that went with it.
Oh, Pat Angerer. But he was a punter, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't count.
Quentin Jammer.
That's a good name.
That's a good one.
Quentin Jammer.
Yep.
Natron Means.
Natron Means. Good one. Good one. Yes, Benny, I know we have to break. God, what a...
Benny's such a... artist.
All right.
Crack the whipper.
All right. More of the great football names coming up. Also more leftovers, including no more excuses for this guy. That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Russ Grimm. One of your fellow Hogs.
Actually, the emergency quarterback for the for Washington back in the day.
He was the emergency quarterback?
Yeah, Russ was.
What was his size?
6'3", 285.
And he was the emergency quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
You ever see him practice quarterback?
I didn't need to practice.
What made him the emergency quarterback then?
Well, he's super smart. And you ever see him throw a beer across the shed, you know, to one of the other guys? Perfect spiral every time.
Really knows how to drive a beer can.
Right, just right. Hey, Russ, throw me a Bud Light. Whoosh, boom.
Perfect.
Every single time.
Perfect.
Perfect. And didn't even, it was so good and so tight, it didn't even get, when you pop the top, it didn't boil over the top.
No fizz.
We just went, and that was it.
That's talent. Yeah. Rod Smith was your guy's emergency quarterback, right?
I think so.
Rod probably could play. Did he play in college?
Yeah, I think he did, yeah. Rod is just one of those guys that could, Rod could do anything.
Hey, no more excuses for Tom McMahon. No more.
Yeah.
No more chances, no more excuses. I gave this guy the benefit of the doubt. I really did because whenever people were griping about him, I was like, be careful. He doesn't have... There's not much talent on this roster at the back end of the roster. Good special teams have good back of the roster talent that, you know, you can really turn into good special teams players. Broncos haven't had that. So I cut them some slack, but they have upgraded the roster. Heck, George Payton went out and made a couple of moves just for special team specific guys.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, they haven't won here in 5 years.
And they're still giving up kickoff returns for touchdowns.
Yeah, not good enough.
So at some point,
yeah,
it does now. It does land on McMahon to coach him up better, right?
That is 100% true. The other thing is, at some point, Mike, if the messages aren't getting through and the players aren't understanding what they're being asked to do, that's a coach problem, not a player problem. At some point, you know, you keep having the same things happen to you. For whatever reason, the message isn't getting through. And sometimes you shake things up because you need to shake things up. Sometimes you shake things up to draw attention to the importance of, guys, if we're going to make the playoffs, we don't have, you know, you think about the margins in the NFL. They're razor thin, right? Every little thing matters when you're talking NFL football because, for the most part, roster-wise, like, there's not a lot of difference between the 32nd roster in the NFL and the number one roster in the NFL. There really isn't. I mean, it's pretty close when you're talking about talent. Now, it can be very different when it comes to that talent executing, understanding what's being asked of them. But at some point, there's a very razor-thin margin between, you know, winning and losing. And if Tom McMahon is a guy that can't get the best out of his players or those messages are falling upon deaf ears or they don't understand it, then at some point it's time. This is it's a production business. And I don't like, I'm not getting on here saying, I demand somebody be fired. That's ridiculousness, right? But at some point, you have to be held accountable. All the players are. Hell, I was held accountable for 12 years that I played. If I didn't play well, I was going to get replaced. That's that's the nature of this business.
Well, simple follow-up then would be, and you digest tape like nobody does in this market when it comes to, never mind just preparing for your own games that you're calling for Fox, but just you love breaking down film. You love analyzing it. So does that extend to special teams? Do you put as much effort, as much time into breaking down special teams as you do offense, defense?
No. I mean, I watch all the special teams stuff, but no. I mean,
do you have enough?
I don't have my depth of knowledge. I mean, there's return right, return left. Right. I played special teams my rookie year. I mean, I covered kickoffs. I did all that stuff. But yeah, once I got the opportunity to be a full-time starter and get off special teams, I couldn't wait to get off special teams.
Do you know enough about special teams today to be able to diagnose what the Broncos' problem is? Is it good schemes that just aren't being executed? Or is it the talent is out there, but the schemes are poor?
No, listen, Mike, the schemes are pretty much the universal all around. It's the scheme is not the issue. It's the nuance that becomes the issue. It's your ability to understand where leverage is, how you're going to take something on, you know, what the first guy down, what his responsibility is, how you're not going to overlap each other, how you're going to stay true to your lane that you're running down in coverage, you know, all that kind of stuff, not to get pushed off your mark. All that stuff is universal. Everybody, you know, again, we act like we've got a bunch of innovators, right? It's all, there's one team that's innovative.
On special teams?
No, there's just one team that's innovative in general.
In everything they do.
Yeah, well, not in everything they do, but they're just innovative in that it's the Baltimore Ravens because they're running something that nobody else really runs. Every route, like every route combination in the NFL is the same. Now, there's different nuanced coaching points to it, right, on how I want the route run, where I want you to be. But, you know, it's like Joel Klatt said the other day when he was in. He goes, yeah, we're going to call that combination, that three-man combination, we're going to call that Viper. Why? Because it sounds cool, right? So they're called something different, but I could put on a bunch of 3-by-1 formations, Mike, and show you each team running the exact identical route combination out of that particular, you know, set.
So the same thing goes for special teams?
Yes.
Okay, so Tom McMahon began coaching special teams at Louisville in 2006. Then he went to Atlanta for 2 years as an assistant special teams coach. He was with the Rams for 3 years as a special teams coordinator. He was with the Chiefs for a year as a special teams coordinator. He was with the Colts for 5 years as a special teams coordinator. He's been with the Broncos since 2018 as a special teams coordinator. This guy has been coaching, use your words, the same thing that everyone else coaches for over 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So why does it not seem to be working here?
Why is it not translating? Well, again, if the way you explain it isn't being received by the players, either change the message, right? Find ways to get it through to your players or change the messenger. You either have to change the message or change the messenger. Isn't that what it boils down to?
Yeah, and sometimes you just change for change's sake just to hear a different voice.
Right.
And that new voice will come in and probably say the same things, right? But maybe say this a little differently,
right.
Say that a little differently. And who knows? Maybe it makes a difference. Wouldn't be the first time.
You know who we need?
Who do we need?
Richard Smith.
Your old special teams.
Ugh.
What made Richard Smith so good?
He would just absolutely butcher the English language. And it was beautiful.
And that made you guys good at special teams?
No, it just made you want to pay attention to the meeting to write down the things he would butcher. You got to run your feet down, 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 down. And then at the point of attack, you got to out-athletical your opponent.
Come on, he didn't sound like that.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. You're running around down there totally oblivious to what's going on. Oh, it's awesome. I used to go to special teams meetings that I wasn't even involved in. I did. Just I would just slip
standing
in.
Room only for special
yeah,
teams meetings.
Get a cup of coffee, I'd slip in and just start writing things down. It was like Tigger doing a special teams meeting. Tiggers are wonderful things. Their tops are made of rubber. Their bottles are made of springs. Their bouncy, 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 bouncy.
Please stop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I go in all the time. That's
Benny, awesome. What are you talking about? You just got a treasure trove there in the last 45 seconds.
Benny, quit being such a...
All right. You know why he's doing just, it? Because Nate's sitting right over his right shoulder. He's trying to suck. He's trying to suck right. up to Nate Jackson. Look, Nate, I'm watching out for you.
He's such a taskmaster.
I'm telling these guys to get off the air because
yeah,
it's
because
your show
show's now. Over.
Your show's over. Uh-huh. Get off the air.
Yeah, all right. Well,
whatever, Ben.
All right, see you later. I guess we're done.
Okay.
Ben says we're done. We're done. Okay. Chad and Nate coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.